with Matt a few minutes ago. Matt and Lauren will not be there. Hopefully you got the phone tree that Lauren's mother, Miss Terry Center, is currently at Rex Hospital. They are fixing to transfer her to Chapel Hill. She is very critically ill, and we want to be remembering her and also remembering our youth as they go to present that program for them there right outside of Lexington. Again, we've started the Grief Share. It's not too late. If you would like to be a part of that, we would encourage you and invite you to come be a part. There's some wonderful teaching that I think can help anyone in the grieving process move through it with a little more clarity and a little more strength. And that's tomorrow night, beginning at 7 o'clock. Love to have anyone, and I think we have a dozen that have signed up thus far. Again, I hope you'll see the different announcements that are in the bulletin and that you will be prepared to be involved in all the areas where the Lord would lead you. Are there any other announcements we need to make today? If not, as our instruments play, FSYC alum will come and take their spot, and we will call ourselves into worship.
Broken and poured out all for love, the whole world.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Would you pray with me? Lord, what a beautiful song. We have been called to worship you. And we come as sinners, saved by your grace, touched by your love, and given the command to reflect your love for all to see. God, would you use these next few moments? May they be life-changing. May they be mind-altering. May they be spirit-filled. For we pray as we worship in Christ's name.
Join these that have already sung by singing hymn number 425, He Keeps Me Singing. Let's stand as we sing.
Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks for all the many, many blessings you have done for us and given to us. We ask that you guide, lead, and direct us. Please give us words, wisdom, action, patience, and understanding to do thy will. Please accept and bless these tithes and offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
are y'all doing? Good. Okay, I have a question. Who has ever played Follow the Leader? Yeah? Some of y'all? Y'all know how to play? Okay. So, we're going to say that I'm going to be the leader, okay? And so we're going to start playing. So I need y'all to show me how to do it. So if I do this, what do y'all do? Yeah. What if I do this? Good. And this. Good. What about this? Good. Y'all are really good at that game. So, what we were just doing is following the leader. And so since I was the leader, y'all were following me, right? Did you know that in the Bible, who are we supposed to follow? God. Right. And he tells us to. There's a lot of verses that he says, follow me. And he really wants us to follow him. Why do you think he wants us to follow him? So we can teach his word to other people. Exactly. So we can learn from him. Exactly. He wants us to be like him. And to do that, we have to follow him and we have to see how he lived his life. So then we can know how to live our lives. Jesus is our leader and we follow him. It also says, I'm going to read us a little bit. It's in 1 John 2,
verses 5 and 6.
So listen to what it says. But those who obey God's word truly show how they love.
That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should
live their lives as Jesus did. So I want you to listen to that last part. It says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So to do that, we have to follow him. Right? Yeah. So it's telling us to obey him, which is number one. He's saying follow, so we got to obey that. And then it's telling us to live our lives like him. And so that's what we learn from him as we follow him. Just like playing follow the leader, Jesus is our leader, and we follow him. And like we talked about last week, he's our teacher too, and so we learn from him. We learn to live by his example. We learn how to treat other people, how to love other people, and how to be kind to people and be more like him. So, when we go through the day, maybe we can think, oh, well, I want to do what Jesus did. I want to follow Jesus. And so we got to learn to look in the Bible to follow him and to live just like he did. Do you think we can do that? I think so. I'll pray for us. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us an example to live by. Thank you for follow you. Help us to accept that and to live more like you every day. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye, guys.
So I wanted to just take a second and introduce the concept of the alumni choir and let you know why I had these kids come back. So these are all kids. I've been teaching this choir for 10 years. These are all kids that have graduated and gone on to bigger and better things in their lives, but I'm so excited about their willingness to come back and serve the Lord. So to Stephen and Rebecca and Sydney and Rachel, I'm so thankful that they're here today. There were 7 others that we invited to come back and who had different things to do, but I'm grateful that they're willing to come back and serve the Lord.
come to me. That's a beautiful invitation from God. Hymn number 541, Why Do I Sing About Jesus? Let's stand.
Let me invite you to open your bulletins to our prayer concerns, and as I have already shared once with you, we do want to be remembering Ms. Terry Center in our prayers. We just be praying for a safe trip to Chapel Hill and for the specialists there to be able to help her with her issues. Thank you for praying for Rebecca. She is at Old Vineyard. We'll get by this afternoon before going on up to Jersey to see FSYC. I'll stop by and see her, and I appreciate your prayers and concern for her. We hope she'll be home probably by the middle of this coming week. There are so many names on this prayer list. Some are even here with us today in worship, but still we pray. Pray with me. Why do we sing about you, who invite us to come? What does coming to you look like? How often should we do it? Is it optional? Lord, we've got questions. Maybe not so much in our thinking, but in our living. Sometimes we feel conflicted. We want to do this and that, and yet, Lord, we struggle. We try to do all the good things, all the right things, all the best things. And sometimes, God, it's hard. Sometimes we just get tired. And we just say, I quit. And we just kind of stop for a little while. Maybe there's someone like that here today. And your spirit will speak to their spirit. Maybe, oh God, there's someone here today that has come with more stress than anybody in this sanctuary knows. Decisions that are laying heavy. Maybe they are those decisions that need to be made. Or maybe they are those decisions that have already been made. And now here we are in your presence in this moment. Heavenly Father, we all come from families that we love and cherish. We all have growing edges in our families. We all have things that we are so proud of. We have things we are less proud of. We have things, God, that we are ashamed of. And here we are in your presence. God, for some of us, this has been a week where we have stood firm against the temptations of this world. And we want to celebrate that with you. For some of us, the temptations have derailed us. And we want to give that to you. Oh God, as we come before you on this day, in this moment, at this time, would you speak into our spirit? Would you breathe the fresh breath of your Ruah, your Holy Spirit, into our spirit? Would you take us from where we are to where you would have us to be? Would you transport us from the mundane to the magnificent? Would you bless us? Would you forgive us? Would you strengthen us? Would you use us for your kingdom? Our prayer is in Christ's name.
Thank you.
Thank you, FSYC, and thank you, choir, for leading us in our worship today. In my heart, there rings a melody. Ask your question. What if there was no heaven? No hell. Open your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Not to challenge your dexterity, but our closing hymn and hymn of decision is 447. I don't know if you can do all that at once, but note that there. Paul is writing to the church. He's encouraging them. He's challenging them. Today, as we continue a series on what does a home of a disciple look like? What does the home of someone who is sold out. Maybe I could ask it. Someone who believes there is a heaven. That there is an eternal place. Someone who believes that Scripture teaches that the most important thing we can do on this planet is prepare for that place. I was struck, and I guess you would almost have to have disconnected from all electronics this past week to not know that Muhammad Ali passed away. And as the news media covered the remarkable life, they interviewed his wife. You may know that before Muhammad Ali was Muhammad Ali, he was Cassius Clay. And he converted to Muslim back in the 60s. First to the black Muslim and then to the more traditional faith of Islam. But I was struck by one thing his wife said. Because as the Parkinson's disease began to affect his ability to do so many things, still Ali would go and sign autographs for as many folks as would want them. And she made this comment. She said that one reason he does that is he believes those are good deeds and he is working his way to get to heaven. Believe in heaven? Do you believe in hell? Paul will remind us of a truth. For those of us who do, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, let's read the first 10 verses together. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word, if you're able. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church at the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope. That's powerful. Let me read that again. Your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, brothers, loved by God, that He's chosen you because our gospel came to you, and not only in word, but also in the power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you and for your sakes. And my text, really, the title of the message, comes from verse 6 that we're about to read. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and in Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His word. Would you pray with me? God, for a moment or two this morning, give us ears to hear what You say, not what Gary says. And don't let our mind become so distracted by life that we fail to see You, the giver of life, and speak to us. It's a lofty goal, but I think we can do it. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You probably heard the silly story about the man who had never been to town, to a city. And so he got his family up, and they were supposed to go for an appointment. And they made their way to the hospital for this appointment. And they weren't sure where to be, and they weren't sure where to park. So they stopped the car, and the father and the son went into the lobby. And, oh, they'd never seen such things. They didn't even know how to get in the door. Finally, the door opened. And they walked over, and they were trying to find someone, when all of a sudden, they saw this kind of elderly, looked like she had had a bad day nurse, dressed in her white uniform, made her way, and all of a sudden in the wall, these doors opened up. And she stepped in this little bitty room, and the doors closed. They were, what in the world is that? Well, we know it was an elevator. Well, a few seconds later, those doors opened up again. And this beautiful young woman in the same kind of outfit that that older lady had just walked in, walked out of that room. The son looked at his dad and said, "Dad, what happened?" He said, "I don't know, but go get your mom out of the car right now." I wonder if we could change some things today at our home. What would we like to change as we examine the home of a disciple? The question becomes, what likeness? Who are we imitating? Paul said, "And you became imitators of us and of the Lord." Paul often said, "Follow me, do what I do. Act like I act. Live like I live." And at first thought, that sounds a little braggadocious, doesn't it? A little presumptuous. Well, who do you think you are, Paul? But Paul knew he wasn't perfect, but he knew he was forgiven. And he knew he was sold out to his Lord. A home of a faith will be a home of a faith that grows. When I walk into your home, can I tell it's a place of faith? What would that home look like? Paul invites the church at Thessalonians in Thessalonica to continue to imitate him as, important as he imitates Christ. We are to continue to look and sound more like Christ every day we live. That's our struggle. That's our challenge. That is, as I began the business meeting, when one recognizes that this is the day that the Lord has made. It's the Lord's day. And I'm not referring just to Sunday. I'm saying each day is a day that our Lord has made. We sometimes classify ourselves in non-biblical ways. Have you noticed that? We have active and inactive members of our church. You know that? We have resident and non-resident. I told the prayer meeting crowd they're going to hear it. You're going to hear it now. How many of you would like to see some things change in America? I think that most of Christianity is not pleased with the way our nation is going. I heard a story this week, and it grabbed me, as I would say in my teenage years, like a new pair of pliers when it grabbed me. It's a story about a pastor that went to Hungary for a mission trip. They were going to preach there. And I'm going to ask us a what-if question. A what-if question. And while he was there, they introduced him to the pastor of the church that he would be leading that week during the services. And so he began to strike a conversation with the pastor, who spoke some English. And he said, "Well, your church, what size is it?" And the man didn't quite understand the question. And he said, well, how many members do you have?" And the man said, oh, we have 56 members. Oh, 56. Well, he began to think, "I remember in the 60s they taught us that if you had 500 on roll, you could expect 250 on Sunday." They were teaching us that in the 60s. That about half of whatever your roll was, remember that active and inactive and resident and non-resident members I mentioned a moment ago? Well, he was thinking that way, and so he said, 56, so probably have about 26 or 27 for worship Sunday morning. How many think we'll have at church Sunday morning, he asked. Pastor kind of looked at him like, "I don't think this guy's very bright." He said, "We'll have 56 at church Sunday morning." Oh. Well, then he thought, "Well, yeah, maybe on Sunday morning, I can understand. How many think we'll have Sunday night?" You could tell that the Hungarian preacher didn't really understand the way this was going. "We'll have 56 Sunday night." "Well, how about Monday night? 56? Tuesday night? 56. Wednesday night? Oh, Wednesday night we'll have 75, because our 56 will bring folks with them on Wednesday night." What would it be like if our church and Jones Chapel and Zion and First Baptist, and I'll go back in my history to Conoke and to Calvary and to East Irwin and to Pleasant Hill, and I could go back to the churches my daddy pastored. Wonder what would happen if every member of every church were to show up every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every time the doors of the church were open to pray, to get on our face before Almighty God and say, "God, we're not happy with the way our world's going. Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in hell?" Our homes are to reflect not the way that sometimes even our church reflects. You see, the church building is the place where we come to celebrate that we have imitated Christ. Now, I'm going to send a proposal to the General Legislature of North Carolina. And I might even just go ahead and send it to the Department of Education, the United States. I think I can save billions, probably trillions of tax dollars. Everybody, I didn't even get an amen right there. I'm fixing to say trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars. to the federal government and to North Carolina. You probably won't even have to pay income taxes anymore. Probably do away, cut our sales tax in half. Maybe do away with it altogether. I still haven't got one amen. I'm going to suggest that we start doing our public school education the way the church does our education. 3 hours a week max. Sunday school, worship, maybe Wednesday night. No homework. No homework at all. No accountability. Come if you want to. If you don't want to come, it's fine. No problem. All be good. We don't need but probably 50 teachers in the state. You got any teachers here? I am so sorry. This is not going to be good for y'all when we adopt this plan. But we're not going to need that much. Put it on, maybe we only need one. We'll just put it on the internet. That'd be easier. And you can tune in when you want to. For 10 minutes, we'll do some math and maybe a little bit of English and maybe a little bit of reading, maybe not, depending on who shows up to teach that day. We'll just do public education like we do church education. Because, after all, we believe in heaven. We believe in hell. And the most important thing anyone can do is prepare themselves for that. Amen. You see, from what I hear talking to teachers, I don't think I'm going to waste the ink to send that in. So don't be looking for that coming down the pike. But what I have heard from teachers and others are that their most successful children in their school classrooms are ones who have parental support and maybe grandparental support outside the classroom. Oh, I want us to understand that our homes, they're so important. We can't take your child for 2 or 3 hours a week, and some even less than that, and give them the eternal strength that they need to face the world in which they're growing. And brothers and sisters, I believe that there is a direct correlation, not a coincidence, that as the church gets weaker, the culture is moving further and further away from our biblical principles. You want to make it stronger? You want to see if we can change the culture? Remember that Hungarian preacher who was confused when he said that our members understand the importance of our church. But I guarantee you those members not only understood the importance of church, they also understood the importance of home. Not only does a home have a faith that grows, it has a faith that glows. Our joy will outshine our affliction. Did you read that sentence? You received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, those two words don't actually go together very well, do they? Affliction and joy. Usually when I'm afflicted, I'm not very joyful. How about you? And yet, that's exactly what he says. Because they're imitating Christ. A home that glows. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery, someone has said. How can we imitate Christ? Oh, listen. We all fail at this great task. None of us will ever get it all the way. We'll all make mistakes. But let's never give up the effort, shall we? Let's never give up the effort. True worship is so misunderstood in these days. We argue over whether it's traditional or whether it's contemporary. And what we don't understand is that we're called on to imitate Christ. That comes from the heart. Go back and read how many times Jesus made his way to synagogues to worship. Go back and follow his example as he would open the scriptures and teach them, that he obviously memorized them, that he put them in his heart and in his life, and follow his example. Go see how he treated other people and do what Jesus did. See how he prayed and 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 he prayed. I want you to know Jesus prayed. And finally, a home is a faith that goes. Our reputation needs to go before us. The Wall Street Journal a few years ago, a story was posted about Joe DiMaggio. For those of you that aren't baseball enthusiasts, Joe was one of the best ball players to ever play. It was the summer, this article goes, in 1945, and World War II had just ended. Former soldiers, including many famous baseball stars, streamed back into America and American life. Yankee slugger Joe DiMaggio was trying to be a Yankee fan and just slip into one of the ball games before he got back on the field. And so he slipped in to a mezzanine seat with his four-year-old son, Joe Jr. And he had not yet rejoined the team. But a fan noticed him. And soon throughout the stadium, they were chanting, "Joe, Joe, Joe DiMaggio, Joe, Joe, Joe DiMaggio." DiMaggio moved, gazed down to see if his son had noticed the tribute. And he had. Junior said, "See, Dad? Everybody knows me." Everybody knows me. Oh, what a great lesson. If when folks sing, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus," I hope Gary McCullough will come to your mind. I hope I'll be like Jesus Jr. I hope folks will see and understand. I hope I will have that same kind of desire as Joe Jr. Did to recognize that when we reflect God's glory, when we are imitators of Christ, when we are imitators of the Apostle Paul, when we are imitators of those of the great faith that taught us here at Flat Springs, when we are imitators of our God and our King, it makes a difference. And brothers and sisters, just like we can't do it in 2 or 3 hours here at the church, it's got to be done at home. So let me ask us, are our homes reflecting the likeness of Jesus Christ? What's coming forth? I was reading about a mirror, and they said that the new polished mirrors that we have today, they can't create light, but they can reflect it completely. 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 Did you understand that? In other words, if that light comes in at 1,000 lumens, it won't go out at 999 lumens. It'll be reflected at 1,000 lumens. You and I are called to be mirrors. We aren't the light. We're not the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is the light that the darkness of this world desperately, desperately, desperately. Tragedies that have taken place this past week will pale in complexion to those that will take place next week. I just almost guarantee it. who'll be shot? Who'll be blown up? Where will a suicide bomber strike next? And you and I are called to be mirrors, imitators, reflectors, if you will. Moms and dads, I pray for you. Probably not enough. I'm going to pray for you more. Oh, what a powerful moment our prayer walk was. We need to be people praying. Praying at home. Praying all the time. Praying as we go. Deuteronomy says, when you rise up and when you sit down at your table and right before you go to bed at night, teach these things to your children. How about our homes? Oh, in a society that would tell us everything else is more important. Your favorite sports team, politics, your hobbies, keeping your house in a certain place, taking the wonderful vacation, even the weather, can often receive more conversation than our faith. The home of a disciple will reflect the love of Christ all the time. The church will help you. But brothers and sisters, we can't do it. Young people, you have as much responsibility to make your home a Christian home as your mom and dad. You need to pray for mom and dad. You need to pray for your brothers and sisters. You need to pray for your peers. That God will use you as one of those reflectors. For it doesn't matter how big the mirror is. It's how much it reflects the light. Paul said, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Deep River and Lee County. He didn't say that, but you see what he said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, help us to reflect who you are in our rising up and in our laying down and all that takes place in the period between that rising up and laying down. For we live in a world, Lord, that is full of tragedy. It's full of terrible decisions. It's full of violence. It's full of mayhem. Lord, it's full of sin. And that separates us from your will and from your way. God, would you pull us close to you that we might love you and reflect you in all we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 447. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for him, we want to encourage you. We want to challenge you to do that as we stand together. do hope that we will each have a good week as we are those mirrors that reflect. I will share with you to be praying for Kathy. Kathy has got a birthday this Thursday. She'll be just a little north of 25, and she's going to be going to Texas for her birthday. That means she'll be gone Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Monday and Tuesday of next week. So I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know where it is, okay? I don't know where it is. When you come, I don't know where it is, but she'll be back, and we'll know then. But we'll keep the office going in the meantime. The light of the world is Jesus. And it is an honor to look out on this congregation and see mirrors that have been polished today. May we go from this place and reflect His love and His power and His presence and His wonderful, wonderful peace that changes us and will change the world. Would you pray? God, go with us. Go through us. Let our light so shine before others as we reflect You, that they will see our good works and glorify You. In Christ's name we pray.
Trusting in Jesus.